Praise the Lord. It is good to be here tonight. Merry Christmas to everyone. Thank you for joining with us on campus and those joining with us online. It is a privilege and honor to celebrate Christmas Eve together. You know, as I've grown older and have kids and get into different dynamics in pastoral ministry, one of the things that you want to gather is as much information as you possibly can. One child comes to you and says, so-and-so hit me. Typically, you want to find out, okay, what was your contribution to the matter? What else transpired? I want to get as much information as I can. Why is Christmas so important? Why does it matter? And I understand that I'm sharing today in a mixed crowd. There are some who have given their lives to Jesus Christ by grace through faith, and maybe you've been a follower of Christ for many, many years. But there's also another part of the crowd that maybe they've heard the story of Christmas or heard about Jesus. Maybe they know a lot of information about Jesus and Christmas, but they've never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so tonight, I want to tell you the full Christmas story. And I want to do that through a lot of scripture and some great illustrations or pictures. And I want to say on behalf of our youngest daughter, thank you so much for your contribution to tonight's message. Every picture you see will be things that she drew and colored for us to see the full picture of Christmas. You know, every great story deserves a great beginning. But this story tonight is not just a great story, it is the perfect story, and it has a perfect beginning. The scripture tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that light was good. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth produce vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit with seed in it, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants producing seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creatures that crawl, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of the ribs of and closed it up in its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, This is at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Do you see creation? God simply speaks and it happens. It was so. And God's pinnacle creation is man and woman. God created man and woman to have a relationship with him, to be loved by him, to experience his love, to worship him. And not only as individuals to do these things, but God created us for relationships, companionship. And that's what we see in the perfect beginning. God made a home. God did everything that needed to be done in order for us to experience joy and peace and satisfaction and love and contentment. But the story continues. Now the serpent, who was Satan, was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. The serpent said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the tree of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?'" So God's perfect creation is not destroyed by sin, but it is distorted by sin. Man had the freedom and the access to everything that God created for them to be blessed by, except for that one thing. And unlike all of creation up to this point that did as God had said, man looks at God and says, "No, I will do it the way I want to do it." And as a result of man's disobedience, as a result of sin entering into the world, consequences came with it. The scriptures goes on to say, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain and childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Therefore the Lord God sent them out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground for which was taken." Here we see the beginning consequences of sin. What once was perfect in harmony, now there's separation. There's separation between God and man. And what we see in history is there's separation between man and woman. Those human relationships now distorted in many ways. Difficulty, suffering, disease, death. And yet, on the darkest day of human history, God provides a provision of grace and mercy. He provides a sacrifice, showing us something that's going to occur in the future. And he makes a promise that he's going to fix what man had broken. The scripture says, therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the promise. This is what God has promised us, someone who will fix what we broke. And that's the problem. Ever since Adam sinned, you and I are born with that same consequence. We are separated from God. So fast forward thousands of years. The history continued for humanity. God makes a promise. God shows himself to be faithful. And yet man, time and time again, sins against God. And as the days grew longer, as the years continued on, the dark days of sin seemed to grow darker and darker and darker. And the question is, had God forgotten his promise to send a Savior? Well, the scripture tells us, in the beginning was the Word, referring to Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. For by him, referring to Jesus, all things were created in heavens and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You see, Jesus has always existed. He was there before creation. He was there before time. He is God. And the promise that God makes is the very promise that God will fulfill by sending his Son, Jesus Christ. How can this be? The scripture tells us that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken to the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So how does this announcement make? The announcement is given. How does this birth take place? Well, the scripture says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor over Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And from his fullness we have also received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And here we are. The promised one has been born. And what happens? Well, awe and wonder begin to spread. The scripture says, in the same region where the shepherds were out on the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the peoples. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen, as it was told to them. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And this is love. The love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. How is it that God the Father is going to show his love through the promised Messiah? Well, the story continues. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Today, salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And as Jesus grew as a young boy into adulthood, he experienced many of the same sufferings and sadness that you and I face. Jesus chose to enter your darkness and in my darkness. And though he experienced many of the same things that we experience today, he did it in perfect perfection, never sinning. Why? Because he came to fulfill God's redemptive plan in the world. The scripture says, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." And God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus, unlike any other person, showed the greatest level of compassion. When he sees the crowds, he has compassion for them because he knows they're sheep without a shepherd. The scripture says that he came to die. And not only will he die, he will rise again. The scripture says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. And God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus died among the guilty for the guilty, though he was perfect in every way. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christmas reminds us that Jesus changes everything. "For if, because of one man's trespasses," speaking of Adam, "death reigned through the one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Therefore, if any was in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." Because of the work of Christ, we can have new life in him. Praise God. Every great story deserves a great ending, but remember, this is God's story. It is a perfect story, and it has a perfect ending. The scripture says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and Hades. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings." Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven for God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. So through that whole story, I ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you have a better understanding and appreciation for the full story of Christmas? The one who came and was born came to also die. He died for you and he died for me. He came to give us peace, joy, hope, and love. I pray today that you will experience the very blessings of Christ through a relationship with him.